That was real sacrifice. That's what sacrifice is. It's the emptying of yourself for a purpose with some type of goal in mind. And as you watch Jesus on the cross, as you see the events that led to his death, you go, that's sacrifice unlike any the world has ever seen. You know, sometimes Good Friday is looked at as that one service that we go to where everybody goes, all right, I'm ready to cry. In fact, some people even show up to a Good Friday service with the goal of crying. And how could you not, right? The brutality of it all. You know, our reading from John completely left out the beginning part. And that is that Jesus was beaten to a pulp by these soldiers. That a crown of thorns was pushed down on his head, which you could imagine the blood just covered his face. He was mocked. He was spit upon. And now he finds himself on a walk towards the cross that it seems as if he can barely make. And as he hangs there, he continues to be the subject of controversy as the people next to him are making fun of him and the people on the ground are making fun of him. And he has nails in his hands and in his feet. And it's a pain that we could barely even imagine. It makes the hair on our neck stand up just thinking about what that would feel like. Not to mention, this cross is just about the worst method of execution you could possibly imagine, because it's not just Jesus bleeding out there, but as he hangs there, he's not able to breathe. And the weaker he gets, the more difficult it becomes to breathe. And he's dealing with the mockery and the hatred. And if you haven't shed a tear at that point, maybe when he looks down from the cross and he sees his mom, of all people, about to lose her son, her savior, the one on whom she had placed all of her hopes, and he has compassion on her in that moment. And then when you think it's just enough, he bows his head and he gives up his spirit. That's real sacrifice. That is sacrifice that we scarcely could imagine. But I tell you tonight, people of peace, it's not the brutality that brings the tear to the eye. It's the reason for the sacrifice. As we stare at the Lord of glory going through what he's going through and understanding there is both physical torment and spiritual torment, as the Lord Almighty, the Father in heaven, turns his back on the Son and Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know he's going through it all. Every last bit of it for us. And it's not Pilate. It's not just Judas. It's not just the Pharisees. It's not just the soldiers. It's not just the Jewish leadership that drove him to that cross. No, the thing that evokes the tear of sorrow from our eyes this evening is understanding the reason that he is there. That's sacrifice. The Son of God sacrifices himself in the most loving way imaginable and shows a love that you and I couldn't possibly fathom. In fact, so often in this life, when we are called to sacrifice something, when we are called to lay something down at the foot of the cross, And it is for those sins that the Savior dies. You stop and think about it. He is dying for the hatred, for the bitter grudges that you've allowed to persist in your family and your friends for decades. He's dying for the envious. He's dying for the greedy. He's dying for the adulterer. He's dying for the one that has wrecked their life and has left a wake of damage in his or her path. And then he goes a step further. And he's dying for the ones who say it's no big deal, who sin against him time and time again. You and I, he even dies for those sins that we dismiss and we say, you know what? That wasn't such a big problem. And it is that sin that is stacked upon the shoulders of our Savior. This is real sacrifice. Sacrificing yourself for people who won't even think to sacrifice for him. And we stand at the foot of the cross and look down at our hands, and there's blood on them, isn't there? As you realize that it is our sins, our personal sins, that Jesus knew about as he hung on the cross in his true omniscience, we realize there's blood on our hands, and that Savior of the universe ought not to have ever gone to the cross for someone like you and someone like me. And then as you sit at the foot of that cross, you feel that drip, drip. Drip, drip, drip. And the blood is no longer just on your hands, but it is on your head. And it covers you. Yes, dear people of peace, shed a tear of sorrow over the sins that pushed our Savior to the cross. But understand that's not all that Good Friday is about. Good Friday is about the blood that covers our sins, that declares us in a scandalous way that the world would look at and be shocked by, declares us not guilty, and says that because Jesus has borne the weight of every sin, of every grudge, of every show of hatred, of every negligent attitude that we have towards him, because of the cross of Christ, we are declared not guilty. It is those words. It is finished. Tetelestai. It's done. Those are words that bring tears to our eyes as well. Because those words he doesn't utter to make you feel bad. As Jesus hangs on the cross and he cries out to Tetelestai, he is not saying it's finished, you need to feel more guilt about the fact that I'm here or about the fact that I'm dying. He says Tetelestai because he wants you to know that every prophecy about him, even the seemingly small ones about him getting thirsty as he goes through the suffering, has been completely fulfilled by him. That the laundry list of things that God had given him to do in this world, and number one on that list was keeping the law perfectly, had been fulfilled, done, finished for you. And that every suffering, every hell, every cross, every seemingly true accusation of Satan that Jesus finds himself wearing on that cross has been completely obliterated from now and into the end of eternity. This makes way for not just tears of sadness. We approach the cross and we hear those words cried out. It is finished. Tetelestai. And it's not just for Mary, and it's not just for those listening, and it's not even really just for us. Tetelestai, it is finished, it is done, this battle is over, I have won, is supposed to echo down through eternity so that the people in the Garden of Eden who had just messed up miserably but had gotten the promise of a Savior from God, he wanted them to hear it. Finished. Done. He wanted that devil standing in the garden thinking that he had won and that humanity was lost and that God would certainly pour out all of his wrath on all of creation. Jesus wanted that devil to hear, it is finished, you have lost, I have won. It echoes down through the ages as the Israelites hear it. That this faithful God that has been faithful to these faithful Israelites, that he has finally kept the promise that they knew he was going to keep in Christ. And yes, that word, tetelestai, it is finished, echoes to our lives today. 2,000 years later, we hear it ringing in our heads over and over and over again as we walk through this life full of guilt and shame. As we carry around the burden of our sin, as we are mocked by the devil, as we head to a deathbed that we are terrified of, we hear that resounding cry of the Savior, it is finished. We're left without anything left to fear. We're left without a concern in the world. Because all that we needed our God to do on our behalf, the entire sacrifice that we needed from him, finished. Never to need another one again. This is the vicarious atonement. This is Jesus stepping into our shoes and taking on every ounce of wrath that the Lord on high has to offer, so that although we might approach this evening with tears in our eyes, being ripped to pieces over the sins that we carry in here, those tears are quickly followed by tears of joy as we hear those words cried out. It is finished. As you walked in this evening, We put a nail in the cross. And if you're like me, when you put a nail in that cross, you've kind of got something on your mind. A specific heavy sin, a conversation, an issue that's going on in your life that might be a day old, an hour old, or maybe a decade old. And you take that sin, knowing that it is a microcosm of our entire lives of faithlessness to God. And you put it in the cross. And then you come here and sit at the foot of that cross. And as you hear your Savior cry, "It is finished," with those words is laced another phrase. That sin has been brought to the cross, and your Savior looks at you with a smile on his face and says, "Don't you dare take it with you when you leave." That is tetelestai. That is what leaves room for joy, even on a night that seems like it should be filled with nothing but sadness. Finished. Done. Don't you think there's one last thing for you to do here? Because your Savior has been the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect Lord, the substitute, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is finished. Amen.